Okay, our speaker tonight is Brother Rob Reed, and the title of his exhortation is Elisha. So at this time, let's give our attention to Brother Rob.
Well, good evening. It is a pleasure for me and my family to be here for this gathering. We look forward to it each and every year. It's just a wonderful place to come, relax, learn the Word of God, and be with friends and friends and family. My talk tonight is on Elisha. And we'll start with, Elisha was a student of the great prophet Elijah. In order to understand Elisha, we should probably begin with some background on Elijah. Elijah's ministry was intended to bring the Israelites back to worshiping of God in the appropriate manner. Elijah did this through miracles at the time that were equal to the great feats of Moses. Elijah proved the God of Israel is greater than the Canaanites' Baal. This account is in 1 Kings 18. Let us please turn there. And we'll start at verse 17. Okay, 1 Kings 18, starting at verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And he took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as a great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things in at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Sorry. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Utterly discouraged, Elijah fled to Mount Horeb, where he had asked God to let him die. But God taught Elijah that he couldn't find Yahweh in the wind, or earthquake, or fire, but in a still small voice. I want to go ahead and pick up at verse 15, God's instructions to Elijah to return to Damascus. And he instructs Elijah to return to Damascus, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, anoint Elisha, the son of Phishaphat, to be his successor. Of these 3 commandments, there are 3 commands, it seems as the first 2 were left for Elisha to do, and the last one done by Elijah when he found Elisha out plowing. Elisha's out plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah comes by and casts his mantle upon him. So Elisha runs after Elijah to see if he can kiss his parents goodbye. Elijah tells him to go ahead and do that, and make sure he comes back to him to see what he had been given. So Elisha killed a yoke of oxen and prepared a feast for his family and said goodbye. Elijah's last miracle was the parting of the River Jordan. And during his last few days, Elisha would not leave Elijah's side. Now that last miracle is going to come in here in just a second. We'll see the importance of it. But Elisha would not leave Elijah's side. Before Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind, Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. If we can read 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15 real quick. Second Kings 2, 1 through 15. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here. For the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they did divide hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan, And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. So in verse 10, we see Elisha asking Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. We know that a double portion is the blessing of the firstborn son, according to the law of Moses. It certainly seems like Elisha received that blessing. It seems as if Elisha performed double the miracles of Elijah. And now we see Elisha's first miracle, parting the Jordan, is absolutely identical to Elijah's last, showing the people that Elisha is taking over where Elijah left off. Elisha took the place of Elijah as a prophet in Israel, but he was a far different man. Elijah had served God in a time of great wickedness and idolatry, and it seemed that the people had forgotten God altogether. Elijah was often very bold and very angry with them, but with his great spirit and determination, he was able to keep the Lord's name alive. Elisha also insisted that people worship God and turn away from their idolatry. But Elisha did this with a much gentler spirit. He was a great spokesman for the Lord, and he performed many miracles, most of them out of the kindness for other people. Let us turn and look at some of Elisha's miracles. We'll start in 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. And I'm just going to summarize this real quick. We read about the increase in the widow's oil. But a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, her husband died. And a creditor came and wanted to take and place her children, her two sons, to be bondsmen or slaves. Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? What do thee have in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath nothing in the house save a pot of oil." Elisha tells her to go out and borrow as many vessels from her neighbors, then go and shut herself and her two sons up in the house and pour the oil into all the vessels until they are full. Then she's instructed to go out, sell the oil, and pay her debt. And she and her son children can rest easy using the rest of the oil for themselves. In verse 8, we read about the Shunammite woman and how Elisha brings her son back to life. This is a pretty long story, so I'm going to summarize it. Elisha often passed through the city of Shunam, and when he did, there was a kind woman who gave him food and a place to rest. Her husband fixed a room upstairs for him to use while he was there. Well, Elisha was quite pleased and wanted to repay the couple. So he asked what he could do for them, and the woman, who was quite wealthy, said there's nothing. Then Elisha and his servant Gehazi talked privately, and Elisha asked Gehazi what he could do for the woman. And Gehazi told Elisha that her husband was old, and when he was gone, she will have no one because they have no children. So Elisha called to the woman again and said, "This time next year, you will have a son." The woman was afraid to believe his words at first, but sure enough, the prophecy did come true and she had a son. One day, the boy was working in the field, and he grabbed his head, complaining of pain. So his father had him taken to his mother, who held him in her lap, and he died at noon that day. We'll go ahead and read 2 Kings 4, 24 through 37. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Now, if we notice, she uses the exact same words that Elisha used to Elijah here. As thy soul liveth, as thy Lord liveth, I will not leave thee. Well, reversed, as thy Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth. I don't think it's a coincidence. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and he lay upon the child and he put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hand upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite, the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. All right, let's look at the next miracle in the same chapter. It's 4:38 through 41. It's the noxious pottage. Elisha heals the noxious pottage, and it can be found, like I said, in 4:38 through 41. Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was dearth or famine in the land. Sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe the pottage, for the sons of the prophets and one of the prophets went out into the field, gathered wild herbs and gourds, and the gourds they had not seen before, but he shredded them and put them in the pot. When they went to eat, they said, there is death in the pot. So Elisha said, bring me some meal, and he cast it into the pot, and then he said, pour out for the people to eat, and there was no more harm in the pot. And we'll read 2 Kings 4, 42 and 44. 2 Kings 4, 42 and 44. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husks thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set before this before 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and they left thereof according to the word of the Lord. During Elisha's ministry, there was a captain of the Syrian army named Naaman, who the king of Syria looked on favorably. Naaman was a fine general. He had led the army to many victories over the Israelites. Once when some Syrian soldiers made a raid into Israel, they took a little Israelite girl captive and took her back to Naaman's wife as a servant. Naaman was a very strong and brave man who had been afflicted with leprosy. Now we know leprosy is a horrible disease for which there is no cure. The servant girl told Naaman's wife about Elisha. And he could cure Naaman. So the king of Syria told Naaman to go, and he would send a letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel wasn't happy about this and rent his clothes and said, in 2 Kings 5:7, I quote, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" He thought it was just a way to start a fight. But Elisha heard of this. He told the king to send Naaman to him. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at Elisha's door. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, telling him to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be healed of his leprosy. But Naaman was mad. He thought Elisha should greet him personally, give me some big show. He thought surely the fact that he went looking for help, that he'd get that big show. He even went as far as to say, surely the rivers of Damascus are far better than the Jordan, so he should just wash in them. But his servants tried to reason with him, telling him, if Elisha had told you to do a great thing or a difficult thing, you would surely do it, anything, to get rid of this leprosy. And here he was instructed to do one simple thing, to wash in the river and he would be clean. We'll read 2 Kings 5:14. Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So Naaman returned to Elisha and stood before him. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And he wanted to reward him, but Elisha would take nothing. Naaman promises to make no burnt offerings or sacrifice to any other gods, only unto the Lord. After Naaman had left, Gehazi ran after Naaman, asking for 2 talents and 2 changes of clothes. Naaman was happy to give him 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of garments. But when Gehazi returned to Elisha, Elisha asked where he'd been. Gehazi kind of lied to Elisha. So Elisha put Naaman's leprosy on Gehazi. The fall of the house of Ahab is a very involved and could be an entire class by itself. But for the sake of time, I just want to hit some of the highlights, trying not to be too confusing. Back in 1 Kings 21, Elijah prophesied that Ahab's descendants would be destroyed. During Elisha's time, this became a reality. The last king of this family was Joram, who commanded that the people stop worshiping Baal. However, this was not good enough. Joram did evil in the sight of the Lord. I think we need to read this out of the Bible. We'll start at 2 Kings 8:29. I don't want to get confused, and I don't want to confuse anybody else. And King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ahaziah, the son of Jerome, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. And then we'll pick up in chapter 9, and we'll just read 1 through 12. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went into Ramoth Gilead, and when he had come, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil upon his head, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, ye know the man and his communication. And they said, it is false. Tell us now, and he said, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. Jehu completely carried out eradicating the house of Ahab and Baal worship in Israel. In 2 Kings 9:26, he slew Jehoram, the son of Ahab, and cast him in Naboth's field, fulfilling the prophecy of Elijah in 1 Kings 21:29. Second Kings 9:27, he ordered the slaying of Ahaziah, the king of Judah, the grandson of Ahab and Jezebel. 2 Kings 9:30-37, he slew Jezebel in Jezreel and trod her underfoot. Remember the eunuchs cast her out of the window? 2 Kings 10, he terrified the men of Samaria, killing 70 of the sons of Ahab. 2 Kings 10:12-14, he killed 42 princes of the court of Ahaziah, all relatives of Ahab. In 2 Kings 10:17, he slew all those in Samaria connected with Ahab. 2 Kings 10, 18 through 28, he completely wiped out the Baal worshipers in Israel. Although Jehu was used to destroy the house of Ahab, he was not a righteous king, and he did not depart from the ways of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. So we see that the wiping out of Ahab's house and descendants comes true during Elisha's time. The last wonder in connection with Elisha occurs after his death. We'll read 2 Kings 13, 20 and 21. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. By this last miracle, God showed the people that Elisha was his prophet. So now that we've looked at some of Elisha's miracles, I'm sure you've all noticed how they parallel those of Christ. Elisha raising the Shunammite son, Christ raising Lazarus. Both Elisha and Christ fed many men with very few loaves of bread. Both Elisha and Christ have cleansed lepers. Now we can see that there are differences in the way the miracles were performed or in the way that they were accomplished. But the end results were the same. The child and Lazarus were resurrected. The multitudes were fed. The lepers healed. Elisha was a big-hearted, generous, tolerant to a remarkable degree, courageous, and shrewd when the occasion required. Known as the man of God, he proved his right to this title by his zeal and loving service to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for your time tonight, for the privilege to stand before you and give this lecture. Thank you.